In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 10, what is meant by, quote, "and things under the earth," end quote. All right. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 10, as you may know, we've been studying that in our Sunday morning Bible class, the book of Philippians. And in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 10, we read that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and of those under the earth. Well, it's significant that the New King James Version uses the word "those" instead of "things." I think the King James Version might use "things under the earth," but I think it's important that we recognize that this is talking about people. This is talking about persons. Okay, it's not just talking about things, but it's people, and that really that makes sense in the context because it's only people who are able to bow the knee to Christ. Right, that's who Paul is discussing here. Those who are able to bow the knee before Jesus. And so this really helps us to understand what under the earth means in this context. And I believe that it is speaking about people who are under the earth. That is, those who have died and have been buried. Now, the Apostle Paul isn't saying that those who died and have been buried are presently bowing the knee, but that at some point in the future, that everyone is going to bow the knee to Christ. Whether they're in heaven, such as, for example, Elijah, and maybe also who was taken up into heaven, right? And then also Enoch, who was translated. Okay, so there's just two examples of those who are in heaven, maybe. And or whether it is those who are presently on the earth, such as you and I right now, or whether it's those who are under the earth. That is, those who have died and been buried and gone before us. Okay? And that's what I think the passage is saying here. And I believe that that's the simplest meaning of the text. But let's bring in a few more passages to support this idea or this concept. That what Paul is talking about here is just people who are dead and who are buried and who will one day, as we know from the scriptures, be resurrected from the dead and stand before Christ and who will bow the knee before Christ. Look in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 40. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 40. And this is what this expression under the earth, I believe, it signifies here in this context. And there's other expressions that are similar in the Bible, and we're going to look at those expressions, and I believe that we'll see that those expressions also are talking about the dead who have gone before us. Now, in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 40, Jesus says this, "For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights," now watch it, "in the heart of the earth." The heart of the earth. Well, what does that mean? It means he will be under the earth, right? Well, where was he for that period of time? He was in the tomb. So he was dead and he was buried. And of course, this is a reference to Jesus' burial in the tomb. Now don't dismiss that, because Jesus' burial is a significant part of the gospel of Christ, according to 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 4, right? That the gospel of Christ is the death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ, okay? So this, that Jesus would be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth, signifies his burial. And as we think about that, that expression, the heart of the earth, is similar to being under the earth. And so as we continue to look at that thought, we first conclude that Jesus was buried and that he was under the earth for that period of time. Okay? Now look at Revelation chapter 5 and verse 3. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 3, which says, "And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it." Well, the point of this passage is that no one alive or dead could open this scroll that was set before God in this context. And those under the earth are those who have died. Then also notice in Revelation 5 and verse 13, which says, "And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." So again, saying it in this way is kind of a fancy way of saying everybody, you know. That's how we would say it, just everybody. And that's how the biblical writers expressed that every single person would be involved in this. And it was said for emphasis, you know. Every single person? Yes, everyone. Everyone who is alive, everyone who is dead. Everyone who is on the earth, everyone who's in heaven, everyone who's under the earth, you know, who's been buried. Everyone. And it's a way of emphasizing that this includes all and that no one will be accepted in these circumstances. And so saying it includes everyone who has ever lived, who lives, or who will ever live. And so those that are under the earth are those who have lived and are now dead. So when Philippians 2 and verse 10 says that every knee shall bow, including those who are under the earth, I believe that this expression has reference to those who are dead. And that's all it has reference to, really. Okay? Now, if you have a follow-up question on that you'd like to ask, feel free to put it in the question box. But let's go ahead and think about this a little bit more. Because those who are presently dead will confess that Jesus is Lord and they will bow the knee to him, right? Well, what does that imply? It means that they will one day be raised from the dead. In John chapter 5 and verses 28 and 29, we read, "Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, those that have done good into the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil into the resurrection of condemnation." And so, how does this apply to us today? Well, we need to be prepared to bow the knee to Jesus. And it is better to do it in this life, while we have time to do that willingly of our own accord, than in the next life when we really will see the necessity of it, but it'll be too late if we don't do it in this life. Jesus said in this same context, in John chapter 5 and verses 24 through 27, these words. Now listen to what Jesus says here. He says, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who has sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life." So that's what we need to do right now. We need to hear Jesus and we need to believe him. And in believing him, we need to obey him and do what he says. But now listen to what Jesus says next. "Most assuredly I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself and has given him authority." Listen, authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of man. Now, Jesus is given the authority to execute judgment, and we need to submit to that authority and listen to him while we have time on the earth. And so we need to believe and obey Jesus in this life. What do we need to do that? To make sure that we have that promise of eternal life. Hear what he has to say and believe it. Repent of our sins, confess him as Lord, and be baptized for the remission of sins. Now, why do we say to do that? Because that's what Jesus said to do. And you can read that in Matthew chapter 5, or Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, and in Luke chapter 28, or chapter 24, verses 28 and following. And then also the apostles preached and taught that all through the book of Acts. And so those are the things that Jesus said to do. That's how we obey him. That's how we believe in Him. And if we'll do that, then we have that promise of everlasting life. And when that day comes, when every knee will bow before the throne of Jesus Christ, our knees will bow too. And we'll do it in utmost confidence that we have passed from death into life. And won't that be a wonderful day for those who have professed faith in Christ? Why not make Him your Lord this evening by doing what Jesus says to do and come while together we stand and sing the song of encouragement?